Father continued last time. I would mention here that those who live with such a person, okay, go one paragraph ahead. My Jesus, you know what my soul goes through at a recollection of these sufferings. I've often marveled that the angels and saints hold the peace at the sight of a soul suffering like that. Yet, they have special love for us at such moment. My soul has often cried out after God, as a little child who cries as loudly as he can when his mother covers her face and he cannot recognize her. O my Jesus, honor and glory to you for these trials of love. Great and comprehensible is your mercy. All that you intended for my soul, O Lord, is steeped in your mercy. I will mention here that those who live with such a person should not add external sufferings. For indeed, when a soul's cup is full, the little drop we may add to it may be the one dropped too much. So you find somebody next to you is really suffering, don't get anything more. Patient with that person. Otherwise, just one drop is like one ton of water. That's her experience. So she might, those doesn't understand these people, suffering people. And a cup of bitterness will overflow. And who will answer for such a soul? Let us beware of adding to the suffering of others, because that is displeasing to the Lord. If the sisters of the superiors knew or even suspected that a soul was suffering such trials, and they nevertheless added still such sufferings, they would be sinning gravely, and God himself would demand an account on them on behalf of such a soul. So, I'm not speaking here of instances which of their very nature and are sinful, but of the things which in other circumstances will not be sinful. Let us be on our guard against having the weight of such a soul on our conscience. If you know, if you don't know, it's okay. But my mistake, you don't know. You're just adding some words. But really, you understand this. She's suffering internally, spiritually, no light. Don't condemn them. Let us be on our guard against having the weight of such a soul on our conscience. This is a grave and common defect in religious life, namely, that when one sees a suffering soul, one always wants to add even more suffering. Human nature. I do not say that everyone acts like this, but there are some. We take the liberty of passing all sorts of judgments, and we repeat them when we would do better to remain silent. It's human nature. The tongue is a small member, but it does big things. A religious who does not keep silence will never attain holiness. That is, she will never become a saint. Let her not delude herself, unless it's the Spirit of God who is speaking through her. For then she must not keep silence. If the Holy Spirit asks you to speak out, it's okay. But it's not coming from the Holy Spirit, just come of your personal. But in order to hear the voice of God, one has to have silence in one's soul and to keep silence. Not a gloomy silence, but an interior silence. That stay recollection in God with joy. Many people keep silence and like in the funeral parlor, very sad, crying. It's not silence. joy, interior peace with the Lord. One can speak a Greek Jew without breaking silence. And on the contrary, one can speak little and can be constantly breaking silence. Oh, what irreparable damage is done by the breach of silence. We cause a lot of harm to our neighbor, but even more to our own selves. I remember when we go to the first day to the seminary, we are students, no? Along with students, but the seminary. One of the rules is keep silence, especially when going up and down the stairs, silence. For us, it's a terrible, it's a purgatory, because we used to speak like da-da, and always shouting, you know, as a kid, when suddenly you say, so we find no meaning. But there's another status of virtue. In my opinion, and according to my experience, the rule concerning silence should stand in the very first place, you see. Even we, in a normal seminary, we are not religious, diocesan. God does not give himself to a chattering soul which, like a drone in a beehive, boozes around the gardens, no honey. But get us no honey. So those, what you call beehive, those not a, doesn't collect honey. A talkative soul is empty in itself, inside. It lacks both the essential virtues and intimacy with God. A deeper interior life, one of gentle peace and of the silence where the Lord dwells, is quite out of the question. A soul that has never tasted the sweetness of inner silence is a rather restless spirit which disturbs the silence of others. So, you don't have silence in yourself, you disturb the silence of others. You don't have peace. You don't rest. If you have to think all the time, ear plug with all the music, the whole day, even cooking music, or the MTL music, or do. We are not in silence. Although it's silence, but it's not silence. No interior silence. We are afraid to be silent. Right? A soul that has never tasted the sweetest of inner silence is a restless spirit which disturbs the silence of others. I've seen many souls in the depths of hell for not having kept his silence. She has seen the souls in not purgatory, in hell. They like to, gossips here and there without love. Then in hell is all shouting. Terrible. They told me so themselves when I asked them what was the cause of their undoing. These were souls of religious. My God, what an agony it is to think that not only might they have been in heaven, but they might even have become saints. Oh Jesus, have mercy. They joined the religious order in order to go towards souls, virtues. Salvation, at the end, go to hell. Can't you imagine? I tremble to think that I have to give an account of my tongue. There is life, but there is also death in the tongue. Sometimes we kill with the tongue. We commit real murders. But we are still to regard that as a small thing. I truly do not understand such consciences. I've known a person who, when she learned from someone that a certain thing was being said about her, felt seriously ill. She lost a good deal of blood and shed many tears, and the outcome was very sad. I was not the sort that did all this, but the tongue. It was not the sort that did all this, but the tongue. She was hurt. Oh, my silent Jesus, have mercy on us. The first title give to Jesus, silent Jesus. Oh, my silent Jesus. I wandered onto the subject of silence, but this is not what I wanted to speak about, but rather about the soul's life with God and about its response to grace. When a soul has been cleansed and the Lord is on intimate terms with it, it begins to apply all its inner force in striving after God. Yet the soul cannot do anything of itself. God alone arranges everything. The soul knows this and is mindful of it. It is still in exile and understands well that they may yet come cloudy at rainy states. But it must now look upon things differently from what it had up to now. It does not seek to reassurance in a false peace, but make ready for battle. It knows it comes from a warrior race. It is now much more aware of everything. It knows that it is of royal stock. It is concerned with all that is great and holy. So even our spiritual life, now there is always moments, obstructions, temptations. It's always people around you, your own self, the first enemy. Yourself is not, don't complain others. Don't say all the things the devil or the Satan is playing for you, putting in front of you. If you have a conscious, you have a conscious mind, you say you follow Lord Jesus, you say, thank you Jesus, thank you. Keep joyful. Then only sad people the devil can enter, because you don't trust. If you trust the Lord, why you are so sad? If you say, if your life is one with the Lord, either suffering or joyful moments, you're one with the Lord, why you're sad? Only sadness can give you all the opportunity to be fall into temptation, fall into temptation. You still have to make a choice. You say, oh, open the internet, this, the picture comes in. So what? When it comes to curiosity, hey, what happened?
There is a mind, Father.
Sorry?
There is a mind.
Yeah.
Sad.
I know.
We don't know why.
I know. Sometimes problem.
Yeah.
They make money. The time you open, you know, they collect, they have the points, how many points they click in, they charge, you know. Also by the side, they are commerce things, so you don't know. That's why people make money over there. So only simple things can attract people, you know. That's a problem. We are sinful people. There is a series of graces which God pours into the soul after these trials by fire. The soul enjoys intimate union with God. It has many visions, both corporal and intellectual. It hears many supernatural words and sometimes distinct orders. But despite these graces, it is not self-sufficient. In fact, it is even less so as a result of God's graces, because it's now open to many dangers and can easily fall prey to illusions. So many people have kind of, you know, inspiration from the Lord. It's joyful. It's okay. Thank you. Thank the Lord. But sometimes you must be more prayerful, humble, and obedient share with your spiritual director. You see, many times you say, oh, I got the inspiration from the Lord. Yeah, it's okay. But sometimes, not exactly. The Satan can, in between, give you some other ingredients. You say, okay, I'm capable because I got the Spirit of the Lord. If you're not obedient, not humble enough, tell your spiritual director. Otherwise, we can fall into a trap. That's what she said. Fall into a trap. Don't presume you're powerful. God give you some grace. Thank the Lord. But other time, there's some other things not extended from the Lord. But you'll be careful. More prayerful and humble. In fact, it is even less so as a result of God's graces, because it is now open to many dangers and can easily fall prey to illusions. In order to ask God for a spiritual director, but do not only must it pray for one, it must also make every effort to find a leader who is an expert in these things. Just as a military leader must know the ways along which he will lead his followers into battle, and so that is united with God must be prepared for great and hard fought battles. The more graces you have, the more obstacles you have to confront. It's a soldier. A soldier is not staying in the camp. Once you go out, it's all 24 hours alert, you know. Those soldiers, when they go to the camp, who is next to them? The rifle. Sleep with the rifle. They know thoroughly how they use the rifle, you know, to kill, of course. Or, in other sense, they protect themselves, but it's to kill. After these purifications and tears, God abides in the soul in a special way. But the soul does not always cooperate with these graces. Not that the soul itself is not willing to work, but it encounters so many interior and exterior difficulties that it really takes a miracle to sustain the soul on these summits. So although, you know, you pass through the temptations, you can stand up, and then still a long, long way to run. Never stop until the day you expire the last breath. Then you say, Lord, I'm here. Otherwise, you still, yes. Oh. In this, it absolutely needs a director. People have often so doubts in my soul, and I myself have sometimes become frightened at the thought that I was, after all, an ignorant person and did not have knowledge of many things, above all, spiritual things. But when my doubts increased, I sought light from my confessor or my superiors. Yet I did not obtain what I desired, sometimes not available that easily. So she had to suffer. When I opened myself up to the superiors, one of them understood my soul and the role of God intended for me. When I followed her advice, I made quick progress towards perfection. But this did not last long. When I opened up to my soul still more deeply, I did not obtain what I desired. It seemed to my superior that these graces were unlikely, and so I could not draw any further help from her. She told me it was impossible that God should commune with his creatures in such a way. Quote, I fear for you, sister. Isn't this an illusion of some sort? You would better go and seek the advice of a priest. Close quotation. But the confessor did not understand me and said, open, you would better go, sister, and talk about these things, these matters, with your superiors. Quotation, you know. The superior asked her to go to a confessor. The confessor finds it very difficult. You better talk to your superior. And so, I would go from the superiors to the confessor, and from the confessor to the superiors, and I found no peace. That's what I experienced. These divine graces become a great sufferings for me. And more than once, I said to the Lord directly, Jesus, I am afraid of you. Could you not be some kind of a ghost? Because suffering, no answer from the superior, from confessor. Everybody say, you're disillusioned. No, it's impossible. Come on, don't think about this. Then she complained to Jesus, what happened to me? What are you doing here? Making me so, no solution. Going nowhere. Jesus always had reassured me, but I still continued to be incredulous. Jesus said, come down. But she, no, excited. It is strange now, however, the more I became incredulous, the more Jesus gave me proofs that these things came from him. So, interesting. Eh? Jesus assured her, come from me, eh? It's not just from your illusions. When I saw that my mind was not being set at rest by my superiors, I decided to say nothing of these purely interior matters. Exteriorly, I tried, as a good nun should, to tell everything to my superiors. But as for the needs of my soul, I spoke about these only in the confessional. For many very good reasons, I learned that a woman is not called to discern such mysteries. I laid myself open to much unnecessary suffering. For quite a long time, I was regarded as one possessed by the evil spirit, and I was looked upon with pity, and the superior took certain precautionary actions in my respect. It reached my ears that the sisters also regarded me as such. And the sky grew dark around me. I began to shun these divine graces, but it was beyond my power to do so. Suddenly, I would be enveloped in such recollection that, against my will, I was immersed in God, and the Lord kept me completely dependent upon himself. Okay, God is good. After a certain moment, save her. Come on, have some peace. God is always good.